have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Come on, everybody, give God a praise in the temple. Tonight we have a prayer. You know you need a word from the Lord. Lift your hands in his atmosphere and say, Lord, speak to me. Come on, fellowship, help us say, Lord, give us a word. Give us a word. World's in trouble, Lord. Give us a word. Our families are in trouble, Lord. Give us a word. We surrender ourselves unto you. We say all we need. Just one word.
Just one word
from you. Won't you join in with the worship, everybody? Lift your hands and say, Lord, give us a word. Come on, let's sing. Give us a word. God, our lives are going to be better when you speak to us. Hallelujah. Children are coming home when you speak to us. Well, you know it by now. Come on, say all we need. Come on, say it.
All we need.
Say it till you believe it.
Just one word from you.
Come on, just lean on them and say all we need.
All we need.
Just one word. What the Lord promised that you would.
You promised you would hear our prayer.
I mean, those things are getting better for you. Things are getting better for me.
You promised you would hear our prayer.
Somebody just wave back at me and say, I know that's right. I know that's right. You promised you would. Lift your hands and say all.
Just
one word.
Just one word from you.
Grab your neighbor by the hand and say things are getting better. Things are getting better. Things are getting better. Cause all we need.
All we need.
Just one word.
Just one word.
Come on, stand up on your feet. I need about three more people to stand up on your feet and help me say you promised you would. Point up to heaven with a sign of victory and say, you promised you would heal my land.
You would heal our land.
Somebody's singing it like you really believe it. Come on, say, you promised you would.
You promised you would heal our land.
Look at your neighbor and say, I see things are getting better for you. Come on, say, all I need is just one word. Just one word.
Just one word.
Doesn't matter what the doctor says. Doesn't matter what the lawyer says. But all I need is just one word.
All I need.
Just one word.
Just one word from you.
Things are getting better for me. I feel it all in my body.
Hey, hey, hey. It's Tuesday. And you are up and on the podcast. It must be the voice. I being with us, and we are so glad to be back. It means the Lord has brought us another week and given us another time to get in his word. Aren't you glad about it? Amen. He's been just that good and that kind, and I thank him for being a friend of mine. Hallelujah. And so let us see who's with us on tonight. Amen. I believe they're here and they're charged up after last week. Ooh, I'm telling you, God really blessed us on the podcast on last week. Amen. So let's see if that St. Louis girl is on the line, ready to go forth for Jesus tonight. Our producer, Kimmy Kim, come on and say something to her.
Hello, this is a wonderful day, and I'm just grateful to have another opportunity to break bread with you. And we do have my sister is on today. Yay!
All right. Now we're going to go to Upper Marlboro, Maryland. And is the Bishop Elect Ernest E. Richard on this line tonight?
Come on, lucky number 7. No, you cheated, man. I'm going to punch you in the... Oh, you better wait. Hold on. Let me answer this phone. Hey, what's going on? Oh, wow. What's going on there, Apostle? How you feeling, sir?
Yes,
I was just having a little street witnessing going on here. You know, I was witnessing him on chapter 7, verse 2. I'm going to punch you in your face when we get out of here. Don't you run nowhere. I ain't playing with you. No. Let me stop playing. The Lord bless you, sir. I'm happy to be here with you today.
Kim, you're the doctor. Did you pick up the medicine?
No. She blew it. She gave the medicine to some junkie.
Yeah, well, let me go down here to Peach City, Peach State, amen, and see if that wild man is on the line tonight, the Apostle Kirby A. Whitlow, Jr.
I'm going to need you and Bishop Designate, Bishop Elect, to pray for me. I got some very disturbing news earlier this morning that I didn't get to tell you about, and I'm really troubled in my heart about it. I feel like crying because it's so bad. I mean, just pray for me because somebody out in California won all that money, and I wanted it for myself. Y'all pray for me. Y'all just pray for me. I can't take it. I wanted that Powerball. I surely did. Y'all pray for me.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. You know what? I know where he lives, Apostle. So let's just get plane tickets to go out and visit him. You know? Yeah. I was praying that somebody would drop a ticket in my hand. Yes, sir. What's going on?
Did you call the gas company oil company?
I called Gethsemane Oil Company. They said for that type of oil, it's going to take a miracle just to get half a barrel. So I said, well, I guess we're stuck with what we got till that time.
Well, we better get the half a barrel and tell the Lord to stretch it because he sure needs it.
Oh, my God. But, hey, I ain't mad at him. And I understand it's being shared with 3 or 4 other people, so not one person got it. Several people, about 3 or 4 others got it. But that's all right.
Give
you know, hey, listen.
Give your tithe, bring your tithe and your offering. And
yeah,
the Lord will. He bore you out a blessing, you won't have room enough to receive.
You know what I say, Apostle? If you win, give God 10, let me be your church. Come on here now.
Now I know we are blessed tonight.
We are
blessed. Amen. God has raised him up and brought him back to us. Tonight, we go to Indianapolis, Indiana. The pastor, Anna Henderson, is on the line. She's going to be with us, but sort of laid back. She's going to pop in every now and then. But let's get a greeting from Pastor Allison.
Bless her.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm so glad to be a part of the podcast tonight. Yeah. To my sister, Kimmy, Dr. Kimmy Kim, to my brother, Bishop.
Hey, sweetie.
I'm so glad to be a part of Pastor Whitlow, Pastor Smith. I'm just so glad to be on tonight with you all again. Thank you for your prayers. Right. Thank you for your love and your support. And I appreciate it so much.
See, I just hit the Powerball just now for $1 billion. My sister's back.
There you go. There you go. Now let me check the line. Amen. From Atlanta, Georgia. Amen. Woman of God, Felicia Flight. Are you on the line? I might have called her too late.
Yeah, we might have chased her off, too. She might think we for real with the gambling and the womanizing and all that stuff.
I doubt that. I doubt that. All right. I don't hear her as of yet. She might come on. Amen. All right. So we had a blessed time. Online. Wait a minute. Let me not go too fast. Is there anyone else online that I am not aware of? Please recognize yourself. All right.
Okay.
I guess the coast is clear, and we can go on sailing on this ship. All right. Let's see. Let's have prayer by Apostle Whitlow, and then we're going to have our scripture from Kimmy Kim. And
yes.
Then I want Bishop Desmond, Bishop-elect to get ready to give us an overview from last week. And I tell you, we got some stuff to look at this week. Amen. Come on with our prayer.
Gracious Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you and we praise you tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to come to this radio audience, oh Lord, to those who may be tuned in, oh God, across the world. We thank you that, Lord, you've given us this platform that we may share your word, share your insight, share your views, and help someone to become better and help someone to do more as they serve your purpose. We pray that you would anoint us now. In the name of Jesus, give us your wisdom, your power, great revelation in the name of Jesus. We pray you'd even perform a miracle tonight. Thank you for those who are here. Thank you for your power that is yet working. We give you praise, honor, glory is thine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right, Dr. Kim and Kim, give us our scripture.
And what is the chapter, Mike?
Go back to chapter 2 and read those last few verses. Maybe about 3 or 4 verses from chapter 2.
What book?
Second Kings chapter.
Bless
I don't,
Jesus.
I don't know the book. I think.
Go ahead. You got it.
I got it. What's the book, my brother?
Second Kings chapter 2, the last 3 or 4 verses.
Okay. Second Kings chapter 2.
Oh, come on, Paul.
And he went off Bethel and out of the city and mocked them. Instead of saying, go up, thou bald head. Go up, thou and he turned.
Can anybody besides me?
Out of the wood. Huh?
No, you're fading
Hello?
In and out, sis. That's what I was just trying,
yes,
trying to hear you. You were fading in and out.
Okay.
We didn't hear almost nothing you read.
Oh, must be my Wi-Fi again. Come on, Facebook. And
right.
I'm going to reread. And he went up from thence until Bethel. And as he was going up by the way, there came forth little children out of the city and mocked him and said unto him, Go up, thou bald head, go up, thou bald head. And he turned back and looked on them and cursed them in the name of the Lord. And there came forth two sea bears out of the woods and tare 40 and two children of them. And verse 25 reads, And he went from thence to Mount Carmel, and from there he returned to Samaria. And blessed to the readers, hearers, and doers of his Most High.
Amen. Amen. So last week we saw, or we took it from the fact that he got the mantle, received the double portion, but we asked the question last week, what did he do with the double portion? What did he do with the double portion? All right, and at this time, Bishop-elect Richard is going to give you an overview.
Well, primarily, the question in and of itself takes us where we need to be. We discovered that Elisha was there when Elijah took off, and I do believe that we did cover the actual fact that Apostle Whitlow shared with us several things that happened, and Elisha asked for one thing from Elijah before he left, to have that double portion. Immediately after Elijah left, we saw the manifestation of the double portion in the mantle, first of all, that split the waters, and he was able to come back across. And then, of course, we discovered some other things as Dr. Kimmy Robinson read from, I guess she started at 22, but I have to go back up to verse 21. We found another miracle where all he did, and this is important for whoever missed it last week. We in this day and age claim we're so full of power and the anointing and God's word is versing through us, but Elisha, according to this story, just took salt, cast it into some water that was undrinkable. Believe God for the healing of these waters, and he found that there was no more. The waters were healed. Death was taken away, miscarriages, barrenness, all that crazy stuff came into. But the beautiful thing we found out also was that the people were with him. In other words, their faith was activated along with the word that God gave the man of God to speak, and so the manifestation came forth. Now, we did find some other things where some not-so-good things happened, but it only goes to show, and we read this scripture in Psalms years ago when it said, touch not mine anointed, neither do my prophet no harm. That means verbally as well as physically. A group of kids, just 42 kids, decided that they was going to make fun of the prophet, and in the process of making fun of the prophet, they were met by two bears, and the two bears ripped all 42 to shreds. That isn't to say that those kids in and of themselves were at fault, but we blame their parents because of the training that those kids got. Now I'm going to stop right here, Apostle, and just simply say this. As we came down to the close, we started discovering some things that should be an everyday portion in each and every one of our lives, and I'm going to use this scripture to bring it in so that we can go to the next round, because I believe we got to verse 23, and I don't think we got any further that I could remember. Well, basically, I'm just going to simply say Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord. I'm going to stop right there. Trust in the Lord. What did he do with the double portion? I would say he trusted God for the manifestation. I'm going to put it in your hands right now.
All right, now tonight, just to give you right where we are when we got off this line
last week, we had a wonderful, that was a wonderful scripture here that talks about the man of God called for a minstrel.
Mm-hmm.
He called for a musician to give somebody a better understanding.
Mm-hmm.
He called for the minstrel and told the minstrel to prepare to play. But while he was preparing to play, the man of God got ready to hear from God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Somebody give that scripture to us. That's in chapter 3.
That sure is. Come on, minstrel, apostle, Whitlow.
Kimmy Kim, where you at? Aren't you reading for us tonight?
That's chapter 3, verse 15. It says, but now bring me a minstrel. And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand, and ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones. And it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered that, behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water.
All right, let's stop right there for a minute. In our discussion as we begin to end on last week, we begin to talk about what on earth is the prophet doing calling for a minstrel. What in the world is he doing calling for the church musician?
Mm-hmm.
The church chief musician, I'm even going to say. Why is he calling for the guitar player? Why is he calling for the trumpet player? Why is he calling the organ player, saying, bring your organ on out here. I'm going to need you to play. And in our discussion last week, we begin to ask the question, is your minstrel, your musician, anointed to make a flow happen? And then Apostle Whitlow, being a minstrel himself, begin to explain to us the difference between a musician and a minstrel. And I want you to give that to us again, Apostle. Go ahead.
All right, a musician just wants to play something just to make a sound. A lot of times they want to mix what they hear with this. They want to demo this. They want to try that. More so, a musician is a hireling. So they are hired to play what they are told to play, and they do what they want to do. But a minstrel is more of someone who really wants to create an atmosphere so that the man of God or the woman of God can flow or function in the realm of the spirit, because they have created a sound that has moved demons, have moved sickness, have moved things that don't belong out of the atmosphere, so that pure grace and pure glory can manifest. In other words, it's like this. Musicians, the minstrel, if you will, has the tendency to usher in the presence of the Lord, and then the Levites, they welcome him with their worship. Let's put it that way.
Okay, in hearing that, isn't it ironic that when Saul got the evil spirit, who did they call for?
David, the musician, the minstrel, excuse me.
They called for a minstrel who had the ability to play and sing until the spirit calmed down itself. This
Amen.
Is why in our churches today, we got to stop hiring folks just because they got a good sound. Do you have an anointing? Are you able, if the praise team don't do it, in your playing, are you able to take the service to another anointing?
Can I interject there for a minute, Apostle?
Go ahead.
If I may. I like what you said. I'm going to do a minor, and I say very minor, reality check. I would love to say yes to the question that you just posed. Here's reality. You have a lot of musicians who really don't understand the originality of music. We know it first came from God, but he first assigned it to Lucifer, not the morning sun, but the son of the morning, as it says in Scripture. Lucifer, being the choir master that he was, knows exactly how to manipulate. So you find a lot of these musicians who think they are flowing in the spirit are actually flowing in a spirit. The enemy knows how to come in and look like an angel of light. You think the devil don't go to church on Sunday? Let the money not be right and watch them deacons and trustees get to acting stupid. I just want to throw that in there.
All right. Anybody else want to throw in a coin now?
Yeah, I'll throw one in there. You'll see that a lot of musicians, they do not have the ability to be versatile.
Yes.
But a minstrel, a true minstrel, does what the Bible tells us. They play skillfully,
Amen.
Meaning they're not trying to outdo the person singing, they're not trying to outdo the person who is ministering in the spirit. All they want to do is they want to be noticed without being a disturbance. I have, and this is something that a lot of people do not understand. The Bible tells us, since you talked about the son of the morning, the Bible says that he was perfect in all his ways until
yes.
iniquity showed up.
Yes.
And what most people do is that iniquity showed up in his sound. So what I'm saying is there is a specific sound that a minstrel have that a musician doesn't, a specific
right.
sound. There's one that is pure, and there's another sound that's polluted. I'm going to leave it at that.
Well,
okay.
I mean, since he's going to go there, I thought you was going to throw this in there. I was waiting for you, Apostle Whitlow, and I know I'm going to give the ladies a chance to jump in here. The polluted sound, to me, I would equate it to the Cain and Abel scenario. What was Abel's sacrifice compared to Cain's sacrifice? This is what we're looking at in this day and age. There are a lot of minstrels who offer the Abelic sacrifice, pure, holy, straight from God. Now, some folk will turn around and say, well, there's no right or wrong in music. No, I disagree with you. When something is offered unto the Lord firsthand as the Holy Spirit places it in your spirit, that's an Abelic sacrifice. But if you're going to grab a little bit of Stevie Wonder, a little bit of Parliament Funkadelic, and then go grab some Bootsy Collins, and you're going to top it off with a touch of James Brown, that's a Canaanic sacrifice. It was already offered to the world. The fruit had already hit the ground. It was given to the world. And now you're going to try to serve it to God with all that rottenness that's on it? Come on, man.
So in our churches, so actually what we're saying tonight, that in our churches, we need to make sure, watch my words now, that we not hire musicians, but have musicians that have the flow of God.
Amen. agree.
And I will say to, I will say to some pastor tonight who may be listening, one of your best musicians you can ever have, or one of your best minstrels that you could ever do in your church, is one that raised up in the ministry.
Amen.
Because they already know the flow of the house, and as God raised them up in music, they're being raised up in that anointing, and that anointing will then get in their hands and in their soul and in their heart and in their spirit. And as you move in the spirit, they'll be in the flow of the spirit and music and minister. Woo, let me calm down. Calm down, Smith. And music and ministry will then begin to walk together. And what a powerful team. What you got to say
Amen.
About that, Kim and Kim? Kim, you went on vacation? Are you on me?
Both.
I'm so sorry. I was listening, and then I was trying to talk, and I was muted. So basically,
Lord have mercy.
I just love this discussion. I'm going to get you. I really believe that. I really believe that when you stay in your lane, and God allows you to have a purpose. You stay in your lane, and sometimes we can get into people's lane. And in this case, sometimes we ask what we don't know how to handle. And in this case, I think that's what happened to this this particular story. I read sometimes that we have to watch what we pray for, what we ask for, because when God gives it, He'll sometimes give those things to us just to show us that we're not really ready, or sometimes we could be ready. But one thing I have come to realize is that you must be careful for what you pray for. And this is what I'm getting from this story. You guys are really deep on this story, so I am learning. So this is another I've read this this story, but you guys are really digging in the bones right there. You have the bones of it. So I am enjoying this podcast. Yeah. But that is what I will say.
Amen.
All right.
Come on.
And I'd like to say that music and the Word of God has always played a significant role among them. Even when you find in the Word of God, when they went to battle, even for an example with Jehoshaphat, and they told him to put the praisers on the front line battle, in the front line. And, you know, music has always played a significant role among God's people because it ushers in the presence of God. And I was thinking about when you talked about David, how, you know, he came and played for Saul when he would, you know, have go through those those phases and to cast out the evil spirit, you know, in him. But he was dealing with it. And I was just thinking that, and I heard you say something, and I was thinking about there is a specific, there is a specific sound in the spirit that destroys yokes and bondages. And it, so oftentimes we look for talent, we look for ability in the church, that one who could play good, that one could hit that high note when they're singing. And all of that's good and have its place. But there's a difference between talent and anointing. And I was thinking back about, I was in a service, and the senior elder got up and he began to sing. And even though he wasn't on key, he began to sing in the anointing. He began to sing one of the old songs. And first I was trying to follow, okay, where's he going with the song? And then could I pick it up and start singing? But I was just listening to the song. And I'm telling you, the stillness that came over the whole sanctuary. And, the power of God moved so mightily in that place that the guest preacher couldn't even preach because the Spirit of God was ushered in from him singing that song. And even though at first it started out a little rough, because maybe in the natural it might have not sound like he was hitting the keys, but the more he sang, the more the Spirit of the Lord came into that service, and there became a stillness that came over the service. And, I mean, people were healed and delivered, the power of God. After that song, he was slow getting up to the pulpit, but when the anointing got on him, he ran around that church, and that's all it took. The church went up, and the preacher couldn't even preach. It became a healing, deliverance service. And I said, you know, when I saw that and I heard that, and I said, you know, it is the anointing that destroys you, not the talent, not that he was hitting a high note, not that he was being harmonious or any of that, but it was the anointing that God used through that senior elder that brought the anointing and deliverance. And so I think so many times we get caught up on that person that can hit that high note, that person that can play that keyboard and it sounds real harmonious. And as you were saying, Bishop, how they throw a little bootsy in there, a little, you know, funkadelic, you know, a little keynote in the song, and people really get riled up from that. But there's no anointing. There's no anointing on the fence. There's no anointing on, you know, being able to get up and shout, because it is only the anointing of God that ushers in the presence of God. And so there's such a difference. And when you're really in tune with the Spirit, you hear the key of the anointing. You can hear when this is carnal. This is not, you know, it sounds good, but there's no anointing. You know, it used to be old school, you know, they would tell you, the mother would tell you in a hurry, you know, just stop playing. You know, that's not anointing. They would just tell you, you know, they get someone else on the, especially on a comeback from a weekend, and then a person gets on there and their keys are off and they're playing and don't sound the same note, and they'll call you on it, you know, and tell you to just stop playing, because we want the anointing in the service, because whatever you were doing over the weekend, that anointing is not the same as it was last week. And we have to be sensitive to that, because we're wondering and we want to see the power of God move in our services, but the music has a big part to play in the worship service of the Lord. So I think we need to be aware of that.
All right. Now,
come out the box swinging.
Okay.
How do you condition yourself, or what is it that makes a person anointed, but yet out of tune? What is it? I'm talking about the anointing. How does that work in a person?
Well, see, if you're going, the person who is anointed but out of tune, they are operating in their gift and in their talent, but not in the anointing. See, just because you're anointed doesn't mean you operate in it. Uh-oh. Just because a person is anointed don't mean they operate in it. For instance, let me see if I can make it clear for somebody. Somebody, you can be smart as a whistle, right? But if you don't operate in your smartness, you're going to look dumb. In like manner, you can be greatly anointed, but if you don't operate in it, then things don't come out right. I remember years ago when I was living in Birmingham, Alabama, we went to fellowship in a church down in Montgomery, and there was a group. And these young men, they were anointed. They could sing. So help me God, they could sing. But one of the singers could not get it together. Oh, he was anointed. He was anointed big, but he couldn't get it together. And then he told the church, he said, y'all have to excuse me. He says, but I'm struggling right now, see, because I'm about to get married, but my flesh is trying to do something different with my fiance, but I'm trying to stay saved and holy, but the enemy is trying to get to me because I really want to do what I want to do. And so because he made that confession, what was trying to keep him from operating in his anointing?
Lord, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
You want to by that anointing, you'll have no problem flowing. But when you want to avoid the anointing, then you'll find yourself struggling in areas that you shouldn't be struggling in. And one thing about the anointing, it is made to make you conquer. It is made to make you overcome. So therefore, those who are not operating in it is because they don't want to overcome what they're facing. It's that simple.
My goodness.
That
was good.
So what you're saying is not just the anointing, it's the conditioning of your heart.
Yes, it's the conditioning of your heart. You've got to want to be anointed, and you've got to want to live in that anointing. You got to listen, because can I tell you the truth? The anointing costs something. And so anybody who really wants it, they're going to pay the price for it. They'll be like, you know what? I done worked for this anointing. I refuse to let this thing go to waste in my life. I will not. I refuse to.
Well, then I need to ask Bishop Richard a question then.
What's that,
if
sir?
If it is the condition of your heart, then what are we going to do with these folks who say, I'm anointed, and that's all I need?
First and foremost, ask them to help me understand, what are you anointed with? And I'm not being funny when I say that. And I'm going from here. Are you anointed to invade, to occupy, and influence the world's culture with that of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Are you just anointed to be able to skillfully play to the point and place where other people who do not have anointing or discernment, for that matter, are able to just sit there? I think Pastor Henderson hit on it and Apostle Whitlow hit on it in the earlier going. Are you just one of those skillful players that knows how to work the crowd? Working the crowd is not anointing, and this is the difference right there. An individual, and this is just my opinion, and I may be wrong in what I'm saying, and if I am, Lord, please straighten me out. Use one of these prophetic voices on this radio podcast to get me straightened out. If you think just because you hit a couple of notes and got Sister Sally to fall out, who falls out every week anyway, or got Brother Joshua to get up and shout, he shouts all week anyway, and got a couple other people to be ignited by their emotion, and you're calling that anointing, then my friend, you've not learned a single thing about the anointing. To me, if you have the ability to change lives through the ministry of music, when you can invade their life with that music, I'll give you a perfect example. This is the most recent. As a matter of fact, this individual will be here in Connecticut, will be in Connecticut this weekend. We saw three sides of one LeAndrea Johnson. I'm going to show you her anointing. We know her gift that she can sing. We heard her on Sunday's Best. We heard what happened to her when she decided to take on the role of pastoring, and her flesh rose to the occasion. Folk was beating this young lady down verbally and assassinating her. God uses Donald Lawrence to bring this young lady back, and the flow of her anointing, I'm talking about a singer right now, I'm going to get to the musician in a minute. God used the flow of the anointing that he placed in her to sing that song, "This Is My Exodus." And everybody in the world was talking about, "Lord, deliver me. All I seem to do is hurt me," and they getting wrapped, tied, and tangled. But now there's a difference between the emotionalism of that song, which most people got caught in the emotionalism, but there were people who actually literally got delivered listening to this young lady sing. And the difference was the anointing destroyed whatever yoke and whatever bondage was upon them, because he used that melodic voice to invade somebody's culture, to invade somebody's attitude, to invade somebody's stratosphere, to come in and occupy a space that was otherwise occupied by ungodly things and unrighteous things, and to influence this individual to make a complete 360 and turn around and come back to the one who brought them out of darkness into the marvelous light. That, to me, is the difference. Three words
now,
I used there.
Now watch this. Watch this. And I enjoyed what y'all said. Watch this. People fail to remember or even don't want to understand that an anointing life, an anointed life comes out of prayer, consecration,
yes,
dedication, and separation.
Amen.
You cannot be anointed and then hang around folks that don't want to come to Bible study.
Thank you.
You can't be and then hang around folks that don't want to go to prayer. And God knows you can't be anointed if you're going to hang around those that don't want to obey the voice of leadership.
That's right.
Now, since her name was brought up, I also want to say this, Brother Rich. I hope they are really ready for Saturday night. But what they don't know, besides being a psalmist, she's a strong prophet.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And the anointed fall on her right, she'll start calling things out.
I
hope they're
forward
ready
to it.
This is not just going to be good singing. This is not just going to be good singing. It's going to be a move of God, and I hope they're ready.
Well, if they're not, they're going to sure find out really, 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 really quick.
Yep. And so now he calls for the minstrel. And I thank y'all for all that wonderful information just then. And I know we can go with that all night, but there's some other goodies here. Now, he calls the minstrel to play, watch this, for a dry land. Uh-oh. Ah, my God. He not to play for a service where God is already moving, if y'all allow me to say that. He called him to play for a sermon where you can't even get the mouse to even run through and see what's going on.
Mm.
There's stillness in the room, and it's not a holy quietness. It's just folks just won't get in it. My question right there is, pastors, bishops, apostles, is your minstrel able to play even in strange situations?
My goodness.
Or is your musician sitting on the organ to my head dead up in here? Ain't no flow.
Yeah, ain't no flow because you ain't flowing.
Let me get one of the young folk modern terms. Ain't no oil in here.
Uh-huh. I wonder why.
Well, guess what, brother organ player, sister organ player, keyboardist, guitarist, you're supposed to make that flow happen when it's not there.
Amen.
Apostle. It's hard, and I don't mean no harm when I say this, but it's hard to create a flow when you've allowed your drain to get clogged.
Uh-oh.
Wow. Wow.
Nothing gets through when there's a clog. You know good and well that if you got a whole lot of hair in the sink, ain't nothing flowing, it's all backed up. You know if you put too much in the commode, like it don't flush because there's too much in it. So how do you expect something to flow when people are backed up? They stuck up. That's why they back up, because they stuck up. They conceited, thinking it's all about them, and they the one who make the difference. Okay. I just wanted to put that little.
Yeah. Well, brother, he just hit on a boatload of beans. And a big hill of beans, because of the simple fact that there are folk who, those who are backed up, think that the back, how do I say this? God, give me to say this the right way so I don't get too ugly. All right, here's the best way I could say it. those who are backed up are in reality full of it. You read between the lines, okay? And I'm not trying to be ugly about it. I'm just saying it exactly like it is. And when you're full of it, and I'm only saying it, y'all can put what you want in there. That's up to you. You usually have fecal matter that is not going to amount to a hill of beans. It's useless. The only thing you can do is go fertilize a field with it. That's the bottom line. Yeah, I said it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Now watch this. So he tells them to get set up. Now, while the musician is, while the minstrel is getting set up, the Lord speaks to the prophet and says, not a cloud, not a rainstorm. I put the storm in there. He said, but I'm getting ready to call the flow. So now, does that mean that God is saying to the prophet, no show, no put on, no circus, no bunch of flesh on parade, but I'm getting ready to cause a move that nobody can deny. I called the move. Somebody talk to me.
Come on, y'all.
Well, again, for God to create the move, right, it is a matter that he's just taking complete control, because there are folk who are supposed to be minstrels who do not want to submit. And if I might, and this is without, and I'm not trying to be vulgar or anything, but if we were to look at the other term of the minstrel, right, you know that it is a discharge that they say, if you will, that it's a discharge, and the discharge is a loss because something has to come out because something was not fertilized and activated in the right amount of time. So suppose that some of these minstrels can't really be minstrels because they're going through a minstrel. Something has to be purged and cleansed out so that the flow can be right. Just support.
Okay.
I'm just saying, you know, because it's like an issue. That's what it's called. It's an issue. It's a flow. There's a release. There's a discharge because something ain't right. So suppose they can't flow because God has to come in and discharge something so that it's right. It's just a thought.
No, I mean, I like. Go ahead.
I'm going to take your thought a little further. Now, it's a flow. It's a discharge. But as you said, it comes to cleanse. And so I don't know why in the church we want to complain about a musician coming and smelling like marijuana when you knew they smoked it before you hired them.
Thank you. Thank you.
He came in smelling like alcohol when he was drunk in the interview.
Jesus.
So I want to take it a little further. Sometimes the discharge is not the person they're hiring, even though they need a cleansing, but sometimes the discharge is the leadership of the church. They want somebody so bad until they're settling for anything that walk in.
Oh, boy.
I want to say this, too. I think if we look at the reality of it in a lot of ways, that in some places and some people, they don't want the real anointing. They want performance. You know, they want the people to be served. You know, they're looking for a performance. And so the real anointing, as you said before, it comes through prayer and consecration, dedication. You know, and when you really want the true, authentic anointing, it makes a difference. It calls for something different. And also, it You know, when you know that you're anointed and that you have who you are, first of all, who you are, what are you called to do? You're anointed to do what? What does the anointing, and Apostle Will was talking about this at one point, what are you called to do? What does the anointing come to do? Why are you carrying the anointing? You know, it comes to do something. You know, it's God's power on the inside. And so often we're looking for performance instead of the anointing and then wondering why there's no breakthrough, why there's no healing, why there's no deliverance. Yeah, you know, the service went, you know, good, you know, according to what you were looking for. But was anybody healed? Was anybody saved? Was anybody delivered? You know, because when the harp, when the music began to, Elisha began to prophesy. It ushered in the presence of God so that he can speak and say what he needed to be said. And so many times we're willing to, you know, just accept performance over the anointing. But also when you know that somebody is anointing, sometimes even when they're coming up young in the church, sometimes you have to step them aside and say, you know, God has put anointing on you. You got to help develop them into that anointing to see, let them see that you're different. God called you, and you have an anointing in your life. Therefore, there's a certain standard that comes with that. There's a certain responsibility and obligation. So you can't attach yourself to all these other things because God has a special anointing on you. He's called you for such a time. He's called you to do this or do that. And sometimes because people don't recognize who they are and what is expected out of them, they get mixed. The anointing, they're anointed, but it hasn't been filtered the way God wants it filtered through. They haven't had anyone to really tell them, hey, this is when you pray, God's going to use you. God's going to do breakthroughs to you. When you sing or when you do this or whatever it is, sometimes people need to know what the anointing is on their life to do so that they can take a stand and say, I'm different. I can't come in here. I got the anointing on my life. I can't get high and get drunk and do what I want to do all during the week and think God's anointing is going to flow through me. And so there's a responsibility and an obligation to come with the anointing. And sometimes we, you know, when they're younger or maybe when they're not mature spiritually, so it takes that leader, it takes that person in leadership to say, hey, you know, God has called you with this anointing, and it carries the responsibility. So you have to be different. You have to separate from these other worldly things. And so, you know, so there is definitely a difference, and that goes back to when we're talking about the anointing being filtered. And oftentimes there's a lot of mixed worship because of that.
Well,
you know, they got a little bit more anointed, but it's mixed.
Go ahead. She just mentioned a word without even using the word. And I heard in what you just said the word submission.
Mm-hmm.
And I think along with prayer, there has to be a submitting of oneself. The anointing isn't going to force its way in, pry its way in, sneak its way in, or seep its way in. You have to open the door. Just like if you want somebody to come into your house, how are they going to get in? You got to open the door and let them in. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
The same thing with the anointing. If you don't open the door and allow the Holy Spirit to come in and infiltrate you, I'm reminded of the ministers of music who were starting to minister, the musicians, and they got so caught up in the Spirit until the glory of the Lord filled that place. I'm just simply saying that if we want to see, we can have church as usual, but if you plan on having unusual church, especially with the music ministry, open the door and let them in. That's all I'm saying.
Now, watch this. Watch this. There was a statement made a while ago that I want to tap into now. Stevie Wonder, George Clinton, Bootsy Collins, and all those were mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it funny? As soon as that kind of stuff is mixed into the music, people get up on their feet. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not in the spirit. They remember that me.
Thank you.
They remember that tune. They done went party style. They done forgot the anointing.
He said they were party style.
If you listen sometimes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, that's my group.
Hey, they're going to be saying, yeah, but that was doable, baby.
You know, what's your group? We're supposed to be in a flow, and you done got into the mood of the music because the musician done got off into another world, thought it would be nice to throw that in right then. And it, I'm going to tell you the truth. One night a young man was playing here. He was playing good. I was getting my dance on, and then he went bum 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 bum.
Lord have mercy.
Bum 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 bum. I said, "Is this boy playing the Flintstones?"
Yes, he is.
And I had to stop dancing, and I just looked over at the organ. I picked up the microphone. I said, hold it. I said, I don't know what you do at your own church. I said, but stay with the straight dance beat. I said, all that extra stuff, we don't need that. I said, you just took me away from the spirit when you did that. I said, so either play right or you can get up. And he wasn't even my musician. He was the musician from the other church. And it wasn't even my service. But I said, brother, no, don't mix that like that. I said, we had a good praise going. I said, then when you started that, people started getting in to what song it was and what show was it from. Because he played the Flintstones, then he mixed in moving on up from the Jeffersons, and he would get ready to mix something else in when I stopped him. I said, no, not tonight. I said, I'm getting my praise on tonight. I said, we're not going to have that. And so my daughter Diamond tells me after service, she said, Daddy, why you had to do that? I said, because he messed up the anointing. I said, we were in a good flow before he started playing that junk. I said, and it cut my spirit. I said, and it cut some other spirit because I saw them start sitting down. I said, and people were really just starting to get a breakthrough until he did that. And he messed up everything. So we got to be watchful of that kind of stuff. Sometimes the jumping in the pew and people talking about go ahead, they ain't jumping because they feel Jesus. They groove just came through the organ. And they about to do the bus stop. Oh, y'all don't know about that. They about to do the hustle.
Huh? Uh-huh.
They about to back it up and twist it. So, you know, that thing goes both ways. Sometimes it's the musician. Sometimes it's the crowd. Sometimes it's a little of both. And we must be mindful and watchful of what's going on in the midst of an atmosphere that God is trying to bring.
And that is so true, because that's so true, because sometimes you don't recognize the enemy comes in through the music. And, you know, if you're not spiritual enough to pick it up, and sometimes you do have to say stop, you know. And stop that spirit, because he sneaks in to the service, and then you're wondering why the service is going a different direction, because the enemy has always been about mixed worship. You know, that's what they did in the Old Testament. They wanted to go up on the groves, and they wanted to worship, you know, in the high mountain. They wanted to do, you know, be where God was, but they were mixing. They were mixing. That's how the enemy got in. And, you know, when they wanted to curse the children of Israel, you know, Barak, you know. And he decided, okay, well, let's just let them mix with the other nations, you know, let them mix so they get their worship and their and everything get on mixed and worship, you know, mixed up and everything. And so the enemy has always been about mixed worship. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate. God is not entangled in with the world. We're not supposed to be entangled in with the world, and that's how the enemy sneaks in. And you really have to be, as a leader, you have to be wise. I remember coming up in a famous study, when the choir was singing the song, and I remember the pastor came in and he heard that sound. And he didn't necessarily have to hear all the words, but he heard the sound in the song, which was one of those Kirk Franklin songs, not to put him down, but it just wasn't the sound of the anointing that he wanted. I think it was Kirk Franklin. It might have been someone else. But he said, you're not singing that on Sunday morning. Don't sing it. That is not. He picked it up when he walked in there. He walked in there and heard it and told them to stop. So you have, as a leader, you have to be in tune with the Spirit so you can see, just because it's a popular song, just because everybody's into it, is it right for your service? Is it the right spirit you want to enter into your service? Because a lot of times spirits enter in through music. And if you're looking for an anointed service, then you want to make sure that the music, that everything is set for the anointing so that it can have free course, so that God can move the way he wants to move, not according to how people are trying to move this way.
I was going to add this. Go ahead.
Let's also remember, I want to put this out there for all our listeners. Always remember, even though we're talking about the flow of the menstrual, but always remember your leader is the chief musician. I don't even care if they don't even play the piccolo. They're always the chief musician. I don't care if they can't play the washboard. They are the chief musician. And if you get ready to sing a song that's going to jump and bump, and they take it, no, not that. Sing this right here. And it can be slow, but if that's what they ask for, as it was just said, they know what way they want to flow and need to flow.
Amen.
And what is the job? And what is the job of the choir musician? Change that song and sing what the leader said. Go ahead, Apostle.
What I was going to say, and all of this is really, I pray that somebody is hearing this, because this is not made to hurt you. This is made to help enhance what is upon your life. Now,
Amen. One
of the issues, that has been hurting the supposed to be minstrels is that they are quick to listen to these different genres of music. And so what they want to do is, they, like you said earlier, they want to mix in this with that and that with this. And the problem with mixing in, that's what causes a Babylonian experience. That's where the spirit is confounded, because people don't know whether to do a two-step or a slide. That becomes an issue. It should never be, and I had to share this with someone recently, just because we are in this world doesn't mean we are of this world. We don't have the
same substance
or the same of what this world is made of. We come from the kingdom of God, and so everything we do should be done to a greater standard, to a greater purpose, and a greater plan, so that God gets glory. And if God, let me tell you something, if God won't move in a service, it's because the sound you're making won't move. It's that simple. So listen, here's how you know. Just because it moves you don't mean it's moving God. Let me tell you something. People are prone to move to music anyway. But some people, let's be truthful, some people have no rhythm. Some people are tone deaf. And so therefore, some people don't know how to get it together. But if this is going to be how you are going to operate, then you have to study the sound that heaven wants, not the sound that you like.
I agree.
No, watch this. Watch this, because while you were talking, I thought about the fact that the Old Testament scripture, and this ties right in, the Old Testament scripture made a statement even about the garments of the priest. It said, do not mix material.
That's right.
Tell them not to mix
That's right.
Because the ephod was made to be light and airy, and it represented praise, how praise come to lift the burden.
But if
you mix the ephod with the shamir was the coat of the prophetic, which is a heavy anointing. Oh, let me get up. Let me shut my lips. I don't know what I'm talking about. Here we go. The minstrel is in position. He's playing as he's instructed. Not practicing, he's playing. That's another thing I can't stand during service. Don't be on the organ practicing no song while I'm trying to preach, teach, or God is doing something else, and you over there practicing a song to play for somebody else.
Ooh.
You kill the flow of the anointing. And as Apostle Whitlow said, we're not picking on anybody, but we're picking out things that will be helpful to your ministry. Brother and sister, minstrel, brother pastor, brother bishop, brother apostle, the overseer, whoever you are on the line, it will help you if you take it in. So now the minstrel played so, and Pastor Innocent alluded to it, the minstrel played so until a prophetic utterance came to the prophet.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody please read that utterance. What did God say to him? Anybody have it?
Again, we're going back again. It says, but now bring me a minstrel. The came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink both ye and your cattle and your beasts. And this is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hand. And ye shall smite every fenced city, every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop at all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stone. And it came to pass in the morning, when the meat offering was offered, that, behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water.
Now,
wow.
why, there's several things I want to add, but we don't have time. First of all, let's look at this. He told them, he said, I'm going to dig ditches. So the ditches was a representation, I'm going to bring the ability to flow. He said, I'm going to make the ability. I'm going to open up the path for a flow, and there ain't no water yet. See, and this is why I said tonight, even when there is no flow, you got to find out how to tap into the flow. The flow is there. It's just not moving yet. And a lot of times, we get frustrated with our flesh, and we miss the move and the chance to flow because you got to come out the flesh, tap into the spirit, and say, Lord, where is the flow? I see that you're ready to do something, but how do we cause it to happen? What do we need to tap into? What song? What? Do I just need to follow you in my spirit and just play something that you're getting ready to drop in my finger
My.
So, Lord, if you get ready to dig ditches, then that means something's going to be able to go from one place to another. So I'm not going to sit here and complain. I got to find out where the tap-in is.
Amen.
And so, as it was read, the next morning, now, watch this now, that meant the minstrel played all night. Uh-oh. He didn't have to run across the desert to play for another service just to get $10 more. He didn't have a date with his girlfriend out in the back of the car. You don't see no foolishness about the minstrel. Why? Because he understood his position and he understood that God was getting ready to use him or her for a flow. So I stay put until I see God use me to do what he desires to do.
Amen.
Oh, my God. I'm feeling good tonight. Hallelujah. So it said the next morning. So the minstrel played all night. But the next morning, here comes water by the way of Edom. What is Edom? Somebody look that up real quick.
Edom, was that not the territory that the family of Esau occupied?
Thank you.
The place of the stolen birthright. Actually, not the place of the stolen birthright, the family who was from whom the birthright was stolen, I should say.
Well, I'm going to get into that another day. We've been saying that.
We've been saying that years,
but it really wasn't stolen, but that's another lesson.
He gave it away. He willingly gave it away. You're right. He willingly gave it away. It wasn't stolen. He gave it away, but we're going to get to that another time.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's going to be a good discussion.
Yes, it is.
Now the water, here's a sermon for somebody. It came out of nowhere.
Let's see. It came out of nowhere. Second Kings chapter 3. I got it. We'll start at verse 22.
Remember now.
Oh, he took up late. You think I didn't write that down just now?
Well, I sure did. It said no cloud. That means there was no water. There was no water in a cloud. He said it ain't going to be by a cloud. Neither is it going to be by a rainfall.
Mm-mm.
But just let the minstrel keep playing. And the next morning, water started flowing
through the city. Come on here now.
It came out of nowhere. Or did it really come from somewhere?
It came from somewhere.
Watch me now. There is a flow in praise and worship if we stop sitting there trying to see if it's one of the latest songs and get our hind parts up and worship God and not sit there like we at a concert. That's where the flow is. That's where the water is coming. The water is going to come through the praise and the worship that we give God.
Amen.
I know somebody wants to say something. Go ahead.
I was thinking about when you said the flow.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Don't stop. Don't stop.
I was thinking about stay in the flow. You know, a lot of times people change the flow even of the music and the sound. And sometimes even when the leader is ministering or maybe the leader is singing, and, you know, instead of them following the flow of his key to keep the anointing, the atmosphere, they want to correct the key to go in a certain way. They want to correct, you know, the key to change it how they want to stay. Sometimes you got to, you know, it's powerful when you can flow with your leader, you know, as a musician, when you can flow with them. I remember being in the church where, you know, that musician, I mean, he can pick my, I'm not a song, you know, I don't consider myself a soloist, but I'm telling you, but when he played, you know, as I would do the devotion and praise service and different things, he flowed with me, and it ushered in the anointing, even though I don't really think I have, you know, a soloist voice. But, you know, you need somebody who's going to flow with you and not try to correct your key. So a lot of times what happens sometimes I see in services that, you know, the pastor or whoever's doing that singing, they're singing in their key, and then the musician is trying to correct them, and then the musician, you know, the soundtrack is trying to correct them. Well, stay with this, you know, stay with the words. Maybe the Lord is leading them to sing different words to the music, because maybe that's going to usher in the anointing, what God wants to do. It's good to stay in the flow. The anointing comes when there's a unity in the flow. When the flow is moving, it's so important that the musicians stay in the flow that's being moved. If the pastor is leading or whoever's doing that leading in that service and you're praying, stay in the flow. Don't change the keys. Don't start changing things, because it breaks the flow. And it, like you were saying, how when they start playing some Flintstone music, that broke the flow. That broke the flow of the praise. And so, you know, it's so important to stay in that flow. And so many times I see that, you know, the flow gets broken when the musician or the songstress is trying to have the song to go the way they want it to go, or have the music to go the way they want it to go. And then the person who's the leader or the person who's actually, you know, administering that service, they get off track. They're trying to fix it. And I'll say this, I remember a preacher was preaching, and this person in the background, every time they said something was off key, they just felt it was necessary to correct them right in the midst of the sermon. That is distracting. That breaks the flow. Whatever has to be said, that should be said after. And, you know, and so I think that we got to know how to flow with the anointing. You know, you got to have that ear to hear when to flow with the anointing and just flow. Sing, you know, with, you know, sing with God. And I think what it is that, you know, when you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't know how to flow with the anointing, number one. And number two, you know, if you have the Holy Ghost, you know, you have to be not in the flesh and stay in the spirit. So if God changes gears, you're able to change whatever God is doing, whatever flow God is doing. And, you know, when you really see an anointed service, I mean, there is a flow that quiets the atmosphere. I mean, everything becomes peaceful. Everything just begins to flow. And that's when you really see the power of God begin to manifest in the praise, in the worship, you know, in the deliverance. But you got to stay in the flow.
All right. Let me get my Marvin right. Winans tune on that one. Let the church say amen. Okay, I'm done.
Lord, now watch this, because something else miraculous happened here. Not only did the water flow, but God said, watch what I do to the Moabites by this.
Mm-hmm.
Now watch this. The scripture says that the sun came up and shined across the water. Uh-oh, y'all ready for this?
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
It was good water for Israel, but when God shined the sun across the water and the Moabites got ready to drink, they looked at the water and saw blood. Uh-oh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody missed what I just said. I said when the flow came in, Israel was able to drink good, clean water. But when God brought the sun out, all the Moabites could see was blood. They didn't see good water.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Come on now.
This is getting too good. I'm about to mess up now. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. When God speaks a word and sends the flow is always going to be good for his people.
Mm-hmm.
But when the enemy comes and tries to get in the flow, his son is always going to come out and make things look different. Lord, let me... I better turn my phone off and go to bed. Lord, have mercy. Somebody talk to me. How in the world, on one side, the water is good drinking water, but the sun come out, and on the other side, it's looking like blood. Somebody talk
the
to
one,
me.
One is the blessing of the Lord, and the other is the curse sent by God. That's all I can come up with.
Somebody else.
Come on, y'all.
I think it's a symbolism that when God sets something aside for his people, that's all it's for, is his people. I mean no harm, but, you know, God is no respecter person, but he is prejudiced and he discriminates when it comes to his own. You can say what you want to, but when God says it belongs to him, it belongs to him. There's a scripture that tells us, I believe in Numbers, that the tithe is holy unto the Lord. And I believe that when you are chosen, you become God's tithe. So he looks out for his own. What belongs to them and them alone. And anybody else who tries to use what belongs to them, they will suffer consequences. That's just my thought, you know, but I'm learning.
Anybody else?
All right.
Okay.
You know,
so
go ahead. I was just thinking that, you know, the battle's not ours, but the battle belongs to the Lord, and God uses, you know, God uses supernatural ways to give us the victory. And a lot of times it's not how we think we're going to get the victory, because when they saw that blood, they thought that Judah and that they had a battle. And they thought they had killed each other. And so they went to go attack, and that's how they got killed. And so, you know, it took sometimes the foolishness of things when we don't fully think. God uses those foolish things to confound the wise. And so, you know, in them seeing that reflection of their blood, it gave the enemy a different perception, but it also came to their demise. So the battle's not ours, it's the Lord. So, you know, when we allow to stay in the flow of the Lord, God will use supernatural intervention to give us the victory. But we got to stay in the flow of the Lord. We got to stay in tune with him so we can allow God to be God.
And let me tell you something. If I were close enough to you, I'd give you $100 and a kiss on the forehead. God knows that was the answer. God did a miraculous thing to keep the people of God blessed and safe.
Yeah.
And let his son, S-O-N, come as the S-U-N and made the water look like blood and kept the enemy at bay and let them kill themselves because they saw blood and they thought a bloody battle had done happened and they said Israel is getting ready to whoop our case. And
mm-hmm.
God is all right with me, I'm telling you. Go ahead, Bishop.
No, I'm just listening. You know, I mean, when you think about it, you know, sometimes, and it's an amazing thing that we as humans will put an image in our mind that has no real truth to it. And it's not that God is trying to play with those who don't know him have to understand God has a way of camouflaging things to the point where you're staring at it, but you don't even know what it is you're staring at. I like
mm-hmm.
that. You know, so why are we so hasted or so hesitant? I don't mean hasted. Why are we so hesitant when God says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you? Why are we so hesitant when he says that his glory, that the angels will go before you and his glory will be your rear guard? Why are we so hesitant when he says we're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High and abiding under the shadow of the Almighty? I'll tell you why we're hesitant. Because in the back of our humanistic mind and our ideology and theologies, we holler out, we trust God. But the truth of the matter is, we don't really trust him. End of story.
Kim, you've been quiet, Kim. Get off the mute, Kim.
I'm just enjoying this wonderful discussion on the anointed, standing your lane, and I really believe exactly what everyone said. You must be anointed, and you must be, what's the word? You must be ready, you know? You must be ready, stand ready, stand in the Word. What keeps me in the Word is fellowshipping with believers, of course, praying and reading the Bible and building, you know, my spiritual, my knowledge. Because you can read something in the Bible today, and tomorrow it may be a different revelation. So when you are truly anointed, your lifestyle will reflect that. People would see something different about you. And it's not, I mean, I love praising the Lord, and I love, like, the music, and I love everything. But you know what the anointed really is when it comes to, like, ministry to me? It means also going out and finding someone to become a fisherman. We are called to do the commission. So when you are anointed, it's really more so, you know, about doing God's business. And with that being said, I really believe that when people understand who they truly are in the Lord and they understand the power that they have in the Lord, that they mm-hmm. will continue on doing what God has called them to do, which is, you know, If singing is what God has called you to do, well, sing a joyful noise. If preaching, go preach the mm-hmm. word, and don't worry about, you know, pimping the gospel. If God called you to, you know, be an usher, be the best, you know, greeter that that someone can see. So you'll be the first person that someone will see anyway. So it's important that when we are called to do certain roles, that we really do it with love, you know, because you can be all this anointing and have no love. It's all sounding for brass. I mean, you could save so many souls. You can preach the word, but if you have no love in your heart, it means nothing to God. So that is my input.
All right. Now let's look at that scripture. Because our time is drawing near. Amen.
It's already there. It's the top of the hour.
It's the top of the hour. Lord have mercy. Alfred said we must go tonight. But I dare you to tune in next week, 10:30 p.m. on this same channel. Same wonderful number. Guess what? And the same anointed word shall be on The Voice next week. I know you don't want to miss it, because we got more good words coming your way next week, PM. You ought to be up and ready to listen in Jesus' name. Any announcements from anybody?
Yes, actually, I do have two, but you'll hear this again next week. On October 17th, let's back up. October 9th, there's a double dip. So we got two double dips to go to. I'm going to get the first one, and Dr. Kimmy Robinson, get off of mute so you can hit the second one immediately. On October 9th in the city of New Haven, taking place at the Best Western Conference Room, 201 Washington Avenue in the city of North Haven, it is the 15th annual Hollerback at Music Excellence Award Show being hosted, CEO Jerry Green, and hosted by yours truly, along with Lady Free from WNHU, along with Sister Vera Franklin from Big Dom Productions, and Sister Yolanda Medley from Jasonda Productions. The special guest ministry will include the legendary Vanessa Bell Armstrong, one of the best gospel comedians, Brother Willie Brown in Lester, and, of course, the anointed, God-appointed, and just sweeping the city with one of the hottest gospel songs you have ever heard, Leandria Johnson. Among the recipients will be the host of this particular show, Apostle Vincent L. Smith, being honored as one of the pastors of the year. You don't want to miss this. Tickets are available. Go to www.hollerbackmusic.com to purchase your tickets. If you're in the New Haven area, you can go to Kevin's Seafood, or you can call 202-802-5209 for more information. Also taking place on the 9th in the city of St. Louis. And with that information, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, please share with us.
Absolutely. It's an honor to share this wonderful information that is going to be happening on October the 9th. And it's called the Gospel Explosion. And what it entails, we are having hip-hop music at its best, and we're bringing it. One thing I love about God, he doesn't put our gifts in a box, people do. And so we have these wonderful men and ladies in the Lord who love hip-hop, and they did hip-hop in the secular world, but God called them to do hip-hop music in the gospel arena. And it's going to be an amazing time. It's going to be Saturday, October the 9th, from 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. at Carry the Cross Church in St. Louis, Missouri. I am the host. We have Messenger, David Benton, School, Little B, and we have Jude, and we have a wonderful 12-year-old who's going to be performing. His name is LJ. And it's going to be an amazing time in the Lord, and it's a free concert. And we hope that you can come and partake on this wonderful event. It's going to be dope. I love music. I love genre. I love the old gospel, and I also love hip hop.
Did she just say dope? When's the last time I heard the word dope?
I'm sorry. I remember you saying that we can't mix things together. But.
Anyway, so you don't want to miss these events that are coming up. There are other events. Also, there's another double dip that we want to talk about taking place October 17th, and there's still time. We're going to start with the project up in the city of New Haven, where there is going to be the 55th celebration for one Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith. And Apostle Smith, please give me the information, location, and ticket and or Cash App or PayPal event for those who may not make it. You can still be part of it.
Well, it's going to take place at the St. Paul, St. James Church, 57 Olive Street at the corner of Chapel. Amen. And we're going to have a great time. That my goddaughter, Malika Gatlin, will be singing. Amen. I'm going to get my son, C. Woods, to come and take us to the gospel rap measure. And then also, amen, my brother Samuel Smith is going to give a great toast to his younger brother. Amen. dinner. Collard greens, green beans, onions, potatoes. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Shirley see that. Touch me a minute. Hey, man, we're going to have a nice bowl, a nice soul food dinner. And then after the dinner, they're going to roast me. Oh, boy. It's going to be crazy and wild after dinner. And it's going to be a grand time. I wish you all could be here. But since you can't, I'm going to try my best to put it on Zoom, put it on Facebook, put it on YouTube. And you can get in even where you couldn't fit in. So I want you to be ready. That's Sunday, October the 17th, 5 p.m. And it's going to be a great time. And as Brother Rich said, I thought he was going to finish that off. But my cash app is Cash Tag, Pentecostal Kids. Cash Tag, Pentecostal Kids. Or you can send me a Zelle. That's all that I have. Cash App and Zelle. Or you can put it in the mail. 125 Dixwell Avenue. D-I-X-W-E-L-L. All one word. Dixwell Avenue. New Haven, Connecticut. 06511. The Lord bless you. Thank you, man of God.
Amen. And finally, that afternoon at 12 noon, here in the city of Upper Marlboro, Maryland, missionary Sharon Richard. You've heard her before on the Pastor's Corner. She does the Faithful Financial Moments. We'll be bringing forth her initial sermon and entering the ministry on that afternoon at 12 noon. It will be during the regular service for Power to Stand Outreach Ministries. You can come on Zoom and join us. Please look at your Facebook or Instagram or even your TikTok pages for information on the Zoom service or the Zoom feed as to what the ID would be. You can come and be with us live at 515 Church Street, that is in the city of Upper Marlboro, or you can join us by way of social media. But either way, you can even join us now on our prayer line, 701-801-9814. So we've got a lot going on, a lot going strong. You don't want to miss any of it. And whatever you miss, don't ask me later what happened, because I ain't telling you nothing. All right, you know what I'm trying to say. It's in your hands, Apostle Smith.
All right. We thank God for you, Apostle Whitlow, Bishop Ernest Richard, Pastor Ella Henderson, Dr. Kim Robinson, a.k.a. Kimmy Kim. And so we are grateful for all of you tonight. And when I grow up, I'll be able to know at least half of what y'all know. I'm so grateful that the Lamb included me. And I want to say, if you're catching hell, don't hold it. And if you're going through hell, don't stop. You go ahead. Go ahead. Got better things in store for you. God bless you. Until next week, we say shalom. Let it rock. Let it roll. Let it do its thing.
My sinful ways have caused you so much pain. Doing things you told me not to do. Lord, I need a healing touch from you. So I ask the Lord if he
come you would provide a brand new start. Change my heart and my spirit.
And I ask myself the question.
I ask myself.
Can he really, really love?
Can he love me? Hold me in my integrity. Change my heart.
Your face.